новоньку, та й піду по воду, а там хлопці риболовці, хлопці козацького роду, а там хлопці риболовці, хлопці козацького роду.
A young woman who is touted to be Ukraine's answer to Kvitka Sisyk, the very well-known and well-beloved singer from New York who passed away some time ago and has really created a legend in Ukrainian music circles. That was Oksana Mucha from her CD Reshuto and a song called Хлопці Риболовці, The Fisher Boys. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. З вами Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Павліна Демчик-Макварі, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. It is great to have you with us once again. We have a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian food flair. Sylvia Molnar will be along with a recipe for pickled herring, homemade pickled herring, that is. And Keith Pedon will be along with Ukraine News Outlook and a special broadcast focusing on the upcoming, depending on when you're listening to this program, the Ukrainian presidential elections taking place on Sunday, October 28th. And as well, he's got a story about an international doll festival taking place in Kiev. So stay tuned for that. As well, we'll have a special broadcast by Prime Minister Stephen Harper addressing the election observers prior to their departure from Canada and encouraging and reminding them of their special role in the Ukrainian elections, making sure that they are free and fair. And that special recording comes to us courtesy Irena Bell and the Prime Minister's office in Ottawa. And we'll also have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Leeds, England called The Ukrainians, very well known, I'm sure, to most listeners here. And this is from their most recent CD. One of my favorite tunes from that CD, it is the title track, Diaspora.
My bratia kozaky, bratia sestry, kozackého rodu, u srdci živé, Ukrajina, rodi moji, Ukrajina, diaspora, diaspora, diaspora. Diaspora, diaspora, ah, diaspora. Pokażem wziął synowi kozaki, inozemcy, kozackiego rodu, my dzieci twoi, Ukraino, dzieci twoi, Ukraino, diaspora, 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 diaspora.
Now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's heart.ca.
Вишневим садочку я рожі садив. Вишневим садочку я рожі садив, я в тебе кохана, бо я ся любив. садочку, як місяць зіснив. Вечеру садочку, як місяць зіснив. Сонце заходило, а місяць ходив. Чорні очка, як я ся дивив, твої чорні очка, як я ся дивив, як зорі сіяли, а місяць світив. Вишневим садочку я роші садив, як тебе кохана, бо я ся любив.
Millennia from Edmonton, and that is from their very first CD that they recorded. It is called Життя, which means life, and that was Josie's song. And coming up next, a group from Winnipeg, actually not a group, it's a brother-sister duo, and they are Anne Pleskatch and Bill Sherbatchuk from their CD Vetcher, and another song on about a girl, and this is called Oi Tatiana.
Come and more, Allah. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. When I was in Ukraine a few years ago, I found out that my tour guide had the very same passion for eating pickled herring as I did. We ate them every time we had a chance, which was almost on a daily basis. I've always loved herrings, raw or pickled, and of course, still do. When I was a kid, my dad and I used to eat raw salted herring. That didn't go over as well with my mom and sister. However, that was okay with Dad and I because it meant more for us. Mom would pickle the salted herring that we hadn't devoured, and my, were they delicious. We used to all sit down around the kitchen table and feast on her pickled herring with good rye bread until we were totally satisfied. To this day, I still pickle herring, make herring spread, and salad. Here's a great recipe for pickled herrings. You'll need the following: 6 salted herring fillets, 2/3 cup vinegar, 1/3 cup water, 1/2 cup sugar, 1 medium onion sliced, 1 tablespoon oil, 2 bay leaves, 10 black peppercorns, and 1 tablespoon of pickling spice. That was my mom's special secret ingredient. Combine water, vinegar, and sugar in a pot and bring to a boil with the spices. Cool and add oil. Cut each herring into 4 or 5 pieces. Slice onion and layer in a jar or bowl with herrings. Pour vinegar mixture over top and marinate for 5 days. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
And you're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. Coming up next, Zilia from Vancouver, from their CD Willow Bridge, and a song that is very seasonal. Oi na hori dosht ide, it's raining in the mountains.
Oi na hori dosht ide, avtolini sonce.
Oh, you know.
please take the Nosh Holo survey and let us know your thoughts about the show. This will help us make sure that we deliver the kind of Ukrainian programming that you want to hear. Just go to the Nosh Holos website and click on the survey link. 10 quick questions and you're done. www.noshholos.com.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up in this special edition, who can Ukrainians trust in this weekend's elections? And an exclusive interview with the Ukrainian Prime Minister and more. I'm Keith Parron. This weekend, Ukrainians go to the polls. But there's a large percentage of the population that feel they can't trust any of the political parties. This also includes the political elite. Simon Hicks has the story.
It's quite an animated evening. An amateur ensemble stages a comedy about marriage. But it's less about love than about the dowry, money and influence. Just like in Ukrainian politics, says Maria Lebedeva. She's a journalist and she invited the actors to come to Kiev's Old Market. The building has long since become a symbol. Influential businessmen want to privatize it, but these people are protesting those plans.
More and more people support what we're doing here. Many people wonder why we're doing this. And when they hear that this public building is to be privatized, they all begin helping us. And so everyone who has been here becomes part of our movement.
They've named their project Hospitable Republic. The government has rescinded the Old Market Hall's preservation order, and private investors wanted to turn it into a shopping center. This spring, Maria Lebedeva, other journalists, artists and historians occupied it. In the meantime, it has become a meeting place for various groups of critics of the government. For example, these activists from the election monitoring movement Chesno.
This is like an open stage here. Everyone can take the floor and speak their mind. It's just as important for us as for the artists that there is a place like this, and that our ideas are heard, and not immediately squelched.
For months now, Chesno has been vetting the candidates running for parliament. Chesno is the Ukrainian word for honest. It wants Ukrainian citizens to think about who they are voting for. Many people have placed their hopes in Vitaly Klitschko. Chesno says the multiple boxing world champion is clean, and many Ukrainians believe it, even though in 2004 he supported the Orange Revolution, which left a sour taste in many people's mouths. Back then, election fraud by the incumbents led hundreds of thousands to protest. The protesters hoped Viktor Yushchenko and Yulia Tymoshenko would lead them to freedom and prosperity. Hardly had the duo won before they were quarreling. Since then, Tymoshenko has been jailed for abusing her office. Chesno says the trial was a political maneuver, but it also says Tymoshenko was like most politicians.
We see violations of the law by all the political forces, in the government as well as the opposition. Of course, Vitaly Klitschko's party and other new opposition parties are cleaner and more honest. But that's probably because they're still new on the scene.
The activists publicize their findings in leaflets and on the internet. Of the 400 delegates currently in parliament, Chesno certifies only two as honest. The others are too busy with their private businesses to show up for plenary and committee meetings. Lawyer activist Tetyana Montian wants to sit in parliament herself. Her companions perform street theatre in Kiev, parodying situations that every Ukrainian is familiar with, the seemingly hopeless struggle against speculators and conflicts with high-handed police officers and officials. A residential complex for civil servants was supposed to be built on this spot, despite citizens' initiatives against it and monument protection laws. Tatiana Montian managed to stop it. But the new critics of the system around Hospitable Republic have no illusions.
I would be the only delegate who understands anything about legislation. Writing laws is not something for singers, football players, or boxers. Attorneys and economics experts belong in parliament, and not the lackeys of one oligarch or another.
The new critics of the regime are unlikely to be elected. The activists of Hospitable Republic are even afraid that the state will exert massive pressure on them.
We're very worried that they will come after us after the elections, especially if the incumbent party wins. We know very well that there are close ties between the people who want to invest in the old market building and many members of the government.
And Hospitable Republic wants to continue following that trail to uncover all the ties. They know that there can be no new beginning for Ukraine until a new generation of politicians emerges.
Mykola Azarov, the Ukrainian Prime Minister, is leading his party of regions into the parliamentary elections. But this election is seen as a key moment for the country's democratic process. The BBC's Daniel Stanford asked Azarov what his key message is.
Our party's message is on our election posters. It says, firm stability to increase in the wealth of our people.
Who have you found to be the toughest opponent during the campaign? Has it been Vitaly Klitschko or has it been Yulia Tymoshenko's Fatherland Party?
It is the other.
Neither of them are serious opponents for us, because there is nothing new in their programs. Their programs are mostly made up of policies that have already led Ukraine to a catastrophe in 2008 and 2009.
Do you feel a bit embarrassed taking part in an election in which your main opponent, Yulia Tymoshenko, is in prison?
Первое, что хотел бы сказать, что она не является нашим главным оппонентом.
Firstly, I would like to say that she is not our main political opponent. The most recent polls show that the Udar party is second in popularity among our voters. Secondly, she is in prison as a result of the decision of a court. Thirdly, the damage she caused by her illegal actions adds up to $5 billion a year. I think any country, for example, Great Britain, would have come to a similar conclusion. The judicial system of Great Britain would have come to the same verdict had the British Prime Minister made illegal decisions that inflicted the same huge amount of damage on the British state and British public.
Finally, people have been talking about Ukraine reaching a crossroads, a moment of decision to go closer to the European Union or closer to Russia and the Eurasian Union. Do you think that is a real choice that Ukraine faces? And if so, which way should Ukraine go?
It's in our national interest to have very good relations with the European Union and in the long-term future to integrate into it and stick to the democratic values of the European Union. This is our principal position. But it is also in our interest to have very good relations with Russia. We are neighbors, we have a huge border, and we have huge trade. That's why we don't set the two things against each other. Our very good relations with Russia and our plans for European integration.
That was the Ukrainian Prime Minister Mykola Azarov speaking with the BBC's Daniel Sanford. And finally on the program, a little bit about arts and crafts. I don't know how many people listening right now collect dolls, but recently Kiev held a major international doll salon. We have this story from Dario Diguts.
The fourth international doll salon opened in Ukrainian capital Kiev. Ceramics, wood or glass with gems and beads, long hours of hard work and a part of the artist's soul. Likely, this is the only recipe how to create these very special toys, which are not for play.
Some 160 artists from the EU, Japan, Georgia, Russia and other countries have taken part in the International Doll Salon. It lasts for only 2 days and it is traditionally overcrowded.
The artists put on display their best creations. These are not only dolls, but also handmade fluffy toys.
It takes at least several months to create such dolls. You will never find two similar of them. They reflect the inner world of the artist, and every doll master has his own source of inspiration.
It was a French artist Renoir's painting which inspired the Italian Elisa Gallaire to create a doll ballerina.
When I make a doll, I think what I want to communicate to people that look at them and to have them. And sometimes I make them from my imagination or looking at some pictures or some children I met in my days.
For Elisa, it is a second visit to the Kyiv Salon. She says that in Italy there is no exhibition alike. Apart from the main exposure, here the artists give master classes, which especially attract the visitors.
My children attend the amateur art cycle. A lot of toys they can make themselves. But here they can see all the stages of creating the real masterpieces. For sure, this exhibition is interesting not only for children.
Though the exhibition attracts a lot of young visitors, playing with these sophisticated dolls is a costly affair. The prices start at €1,000. The expensive materials are the main reason behind the high prices, say the artists. Most of the dolls join the private collections. However, warm emotions and childhood memories, which the dolls arouse at first glance, are absolutely free. Daria Digos, Kiev.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Perron.
Gypsy sing of maiden.
bright eyes and sweet romance. My richest treasures will I share for stories so entrancing. My richest treasures will I share.
There's more homegrown talent for you there. That was Bowen Island's Ruta Yauni from her second CD called Bringing in the Light, and a traditional Ukrainian folk song with English translation, with lyrics in English translation, and that was Old Gypsy Player's Song, So Fine. Coming up next, a recording of the speech that Prime Minister Stephen Harper gave to the Canadian election observers prior to their departure to Ukraine to observe and monitor this weekend's presidential elections in Ukraine.
Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. Bonjour à tous. Greetings, everyone, and thank you, Senator, for that very kind introduction. I think it's common knowledge now, Raynell, that you will be leading our delegation to Ukraine. You will be putting to use all the skills you have developed as one of the few people ever in Canada to have served in all three branches of government, in the judiciary, as a judge, in the executive, as an ambassador, and now in the legislature as a senator. So let me take this opportunity to thank you personally for your willingness to undertake this assignment. I couldn't be happier to see it in hands as capable or as committed as yours. Thank you very much. Greetings also to my parliamentary colleagues, to Minister Baird, to Minister Fantino, to Parliamentary Secretary Lois Brown, and to all parliamentary colleagues from all parties who have joined us today. Thank you for being here and for lending your support to this vital enterprise. Ladies and gentlemen, before I go any further, I want to congratulate all of you. I congratulate you all because during the forthcoming parliamentary elections in Ukraine, you will be Canada's representatives in an undertaking to which our government attaches the highest importance. That is, our determined effort to help the Ukrainian people hold elections that are both free and fair. More than 500 Canadians will observe this election. And I'm proud to note that this is one of the largest deployments of election observers that Canada has ever fielded. Now, friends, that said, your jobs will not be easy. So you might well ask, why does it matter so much that we observe elections, and why does it matter so much that we observe this one in Ukraine? The answer to the first question is that under this government, Canada's foreign policy is focused on the promotion of freedom, democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. The answer to the second question speaks to the uniqueness of our relationship with Ukraine and its quest for freedom, democracy, and justice. The bonds of friendship between Canada and Ukraine are deep and wide. Since 2004, Canada has sent observers to four successive Ukrainian elections. This will be the fifth. And again, the mission will be led largely by Ukrainian Canadians. Thanks to waves of immigration going back more than 120 years, Ukraine's sons and daughters now number more than 1.25 million, nearly 4% of all Canadians. And I know many of you are in the room today, and your contribution to the life of Canada, cultural, political, and economic, has been immensely valuable. We also understand that for you, the situation in Ukraine remains deeply personal. The histories of Canada and Ukraine are intertwined, connected by ties of blood and, for some, by deep personal and family experiences. I shared some of that history when I visited Ukraine 2 years ago. In addition to official visit, I also visited memorials from Ukraine's past, from Ukraine's tortured past. For example, in Kyiv, I visited the statue of Ukraine's national poet, Taras Shevchenko, persecuted by the Tsar for defending freedom. I laid a wreath at the monument of the Holodomor, literally the massacre by famine in which millions died. And I'm proud to say that it was a member of our caucus, one of our colleagues, James Bazan, who persuaded Parliament to call the Holodomor what it was, Stalin's deliberate genocide against the Ukrainian people. We also stood together at Babyn Yar, where another murderous regime, the Nazis, killed thousands. In Lviv, I visited the Lonsky Street Prison Museum. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about that, because it made a deep impression on me. It's a complex of nondescript buildings in the middle of the city. Nearby, attractive houses and small businesses crowd against each other as they would in any Canadian town. Yet for decades, this was the place where Ukrainian freedom went to die. Here, communist secret police interrogated, tortured, and subjected thousands of Ukrainian men, women, and even children to the most horrifying cruelties. This is the terrible memory that the Lonsky Street Prison Museum preserves. I therefore find it deeply ironic and severely disturbing that the museum's director is now himself harassed by the present-day Ukrainian secret police. The charge is revealing state secrets, the secrets apparently of what went on at Lonsky Street in Stalin's day. This brave young man's name is Ruslan Zabile. Ruslan is with us today. I met him during my visit to the museum. I'm glad he can join us, and we should all welcome and acknowledge him here today. Where is Ruslan? Earlier this year, Ruslan told his story to a Canadian parliamentary delegation visiting Ukraine. He spoke of how he was pulled off the street and held incommunicado for 14 hours, interrogated, asked about the liberation movement, his contacts abroad, how 2 years after they were removed, the museum's computers, files, and information have not been returned. Friends, in such rights abuses as these, we see the darker side of Ukraine's history, a darker side that threatens its future. A year ago, I wrote to President Yanukovych to tell him that I am deeply concerned about the trial of former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Her prosecution has had every appearance of political motivation. Legal experts agree that it did not reflect accepted norms of due process or fairness. To this day, Tymoshenko remains in prison. So, unfortunately, do many others who have fallen afoul of the Ukrainian government. As our own parliamentary committee, an all-party parliamentary committee, recently concluded, and I quote, there is serious cause for concern about Ukraine's democratic development and respect for the rule of law, unquote. Now, friends, freedom retreats quietly when small defeats are left unchallenged. That is to say, the road to Lonsky Street may be long, it may end well past the horizon, but its points of departure are rigged votes, lost ballot boxes, voter intimidation, and the abandonment of the rule of law. And all of this, I must add, in a situation where the democratic watchdogs that are so familiar to us, principally a free press, face government intimidation. Friends, under another conservative government, Canada was the first country in the world to recognize the independence of Ukraine. The day after, The day after its declaration, even before the official end of the unlamented Soviet Union. And since that day, through all manner of difficulty, Ukraine has come so far. We, like you, are determined that the journey forward will continue, that there will be no turning back. The journey that began with Ukrainian independence must follow the path that Ukrainians in Canada have so proudly tread, to the political life of a great country based on freedom, democracy, and justice for all. Such societies in this world remain too fragile a minority. By its history and its geography, Ukraine is simply too important. It is too important to Europe. In fact, it is too important to the world to be allowed to slip back into the kind of history from which it so recently emerged. That, my friends, is what is at stake, and you all and we all know it. And by volunteering to observe this election, you are taking a stand in support of Ukraine and in support of democracy. And the Government of Canada stands with you. We continue to call on President Yanukovych to respect judicial independence, to cease the harassment of opposition voices, and to conduct an election that is indeed free and fair. So let me send you on your way with this encouragement. Canada has long been a beacon of hope for those who treasure freedom and value human dignity, not just in Europe, in Ukraine, but all around the world. Our shores will always welcome those in search of a better life. But our values oblige us to do more. And that's where you come in, to take that piece of your life in Canada and to share it with those in other lands. Never forget that the vigilant watcher can hold rulers to account, that the one who seeks and speaks up is truly the guardian of liberty. This election is pivotal for Ukraine. You leave tonight. Nous sommes très fiers de vous. We're very proud of you. Do good work and Godspeed. Slava Ukraini.
Hi, my name is Marta Dechok, and I teach at the University of Western Ontario in London, and I'm going to Kharkiv to be an observer with Canada. I'm very excited about it.
My name is Ross Keith. I'm from Regina, and I'm going to Lviv.
So my name is Luba Baran. I am from Ottawa, and I'm going to have the opportunity to go to Vinnytska Oblast, which I understand is a beautiful place. I'm very lucky. I feel very lucky to be part of this process.
I'm Tom Allison, and I'm from Toronto, and I am going to go to Kharkiv, which is directly east of Kiev, or Kyiv, near the border with Russia.
Добрий день, називаюся Маркіян Швець, я із Торонто, їду в Україну. Певно, подібно, їду в Житомир, ще точно не сказали, але я хочу побажати всім нашим, які зібралися тут, 500 спостерігачів, всього добра на користь рідної України.
And many thanks once again to Irina Bell, the producer and host of the Ukrainian radio program in Ottawa, for those sound bites as well as the Prime Minister's speech. And you can find out more about Irina's program at www.chinottawa.com. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network, Sundays or Saturdays in your part of the world on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. And remember, you can catch the show on your smartphone via the Stitcher app. As well, Nash Holos airs Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time in Vancouver on AM 1320 CHMB and in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island Wednesdays at 12 noon on 101.7 FM CHLY. If you're a time shifter, you can get the podcast on the Nash Holos page at www.pcjmedia.com and on iTunes. And online, you can find us at www.nashholos.com. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Який народ, така і його держава. And our proverb of the week translates as every state reflects its people. Well, that just about wraps it up for another program here on Nash Holos. So to take us home, the Playboy Band from Edmonton from their wedding album CD and the Kalameka in C minor. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobachenia.
Ой, поїде Хіміна й завтра дівчиноєнько, одяг я на машеті суди дівчиноєнько. Ой, пасіче, старий коня, пасіче, пасіче, як я піду до дівчини, сам ще верніться. Моя юбка файна. Пам'ятаю, дівчинайко, як вона чудувала, золотує кірничинку, звідси воду брала. Сто діябри на водою хитаю собою, ти дуже так за мене, як я за тобою.